Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges, where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. We hope you get a lot out of each podcast. Please share the messages with others. Today's quote of the day is, "And you, when will you begin that long journey into yourself?" by Rumi. I'm really excited about my guest today. I met her at an event, and she's a little firecracker. I love her. She's got some great energy. And once I started talking to her, I found about her story. It's just fascinating, and I think you're going to love her as well. My guest is Yelena Akalina, and she is a Russian-American who was born and raised in Moscow, Russia, and immigrated to the U.S. in 1992. Yelena completed her doctorate of veterinary medicine from Moscow Veterinary Academy in 1987 and obtained her Master of Science in Toxicology in 1991. Dr. Yelena Akalina has been a research scientist and a director and instructor in clinical microsurgery at the Microsurgery Research and Training Lab at the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at Columbia University since 1996. She's been teaching microvascular surgery to different medical personnel from all over the United States and abroad for more than 25 years. She has a fascinating story. I can't wait for her to share how she got to where she is now and all that she is doing. She's been married to her husband, Sergey, for 32 years, and they have two happy and successful kids, Maxim and Dasha. And I'd like to have a warm welcome for Yelena. How are you today, Yelena?
Hello, Heather. Thank you very much for having me there. I'm very excited and I'm great.
Of course you are. You're great. That's awesome.
Yes, I am.
I can't wait for you to share your story with everyone. So how about we just start, we go back a little bit. Can you talk about why you left Russia and what the journey was like?
Sure. So we left Russia in 1992 as a Jewish family, kind of not happy with anti-Semitism in the country at that time. And my parents had a hard time there. And we were pretty young, but we just followed with the flow. And my aunt was here already a few years prior, so she was very encouraging us to come. And after a long discussions, we just picked up and left. And it was, I was very young. I was 27 at this time, actually the age of my kids now, even younger than that. And we came here with 8 people, 2 bags in each hand, and $8,000. And no language, but bright future. It was a long time ago, but we're pretty happy.
Well, so you didn't know much English at all?
I took a little bit of language when I was studying my PhD program in Moscow, but it was more was a medical terminology, not many like conversational English. We studied language in school for many years, but it was not really enough. So basically very little.
Yeah, I understand. It's completely different what you're learning from textbooks and then actually having to have a conversation with someone about where to find something as you're trying to find directions in a new country, right?
Yes. It was a shock.
I bet it was. Now, was this whole transition, did it change you or help to develop you as a person than who you are today?
Well, absolutely. I think that step brought me as a person, the whole family too, but it changed a lot of my mentality, my personality. I think I had it inside of me anyhow, but immigration and surviving and becoming something in a different country, in different world, which is completely different for us, open up a lot of different quality in me that I didn't know. And I just went with the flow and worked very hard. And I think what I am now is probably, I would think the situation I was put on and the hard work was behind it. And the whole different world that opened for us and I'm pretty sure that was a huge changing in my personality, and it formed me who I am now.
You know what I love? Yeah, mm-hmm. I love what you said, because I speak to this a lot with my clients, and that is that you thought it was there already, but having gone through what you went through, it kind of pulled it out from you, and you were able to use it more and embrace it more. And so I let people know probably everything that they need is already within them, and it's just a matter of harnessing that, right? So it pulled out all those great qualities from you.
Yeah. I agree completely, 100%.
So was the U.S. all that you had expected, more or less, stranger, what?
Well, if you talk to many immigrants from different country, not necessarily, I can just speak for myself, but it was a cultural shock, but I was very young. U.S. was completely different that we learned before when we were growing up. It was very different.
How was it different? Like, things that you were told that kind of didn't stand out the way that you had thought?
Well, honestly, we didn't really know much of U.S. at all, just based on the movies. And it was a propaganda. It was not really something that we expected at all. So basically, we didn't really know what we gonna get in. But we were very hopeful. But in the 1992 in Russia, economy was so poor. We didn't have anything. So for us, it was as a young professionals. I was a doctor already. My husband was an electrical engineer. We had 3-year-old son. We knew and we didn't know. So what the future is going to be for us. So we just closed the eyes and jumped in. And it was completely different world with opportunities, which we grabbed and become something after the very hard work. After many years, we all succeed. But going back to your question, I know I got a little bit off that. America was very scary and so exciting for us, and it was unbelievable. I'm still excited walking downtown, but for many years I couldn't believe I'm walking downtown and looking at all these buildings, and I'm here, I live here, I'm not in a movie. we took our son in the midnight in a stroller and went to Pathmark and walk around the aisles, and we couldn't believe there is, like, we can choose from 20 types of olive oil. So I mean, these things was, on another hand, we lost our friends and we didn't have anybody here, just a family. So that was a very difficult transition. I'm very social, and I need my social circle. But it took a little while, but I'm really, really lucky. I've met a lot of good friends here, and we become a very nice, tight community here. I'm really lucky to be here with my family and friends.
That's wonderful. And I think that's a testament to you knowing what you needed and being an open, giving person to draw those types of people to you. Do you think that being an immigrant helped in some capacity to being successful, or hindered it, or what do you think?
I think so. I think the survival skills really pushing a lot out of person. We all have it, or most of us. So people who make this kind of decisions make it usually with a clear conscience. They know that it's going to be hard work. I'm talking about 28 years from now. So what I think the most quality I appreciate now that immigration brought into me is I take nothing for granted. I appreciate everything that I have. We work hard what we get. Nobody give us anything. We work hard for everything we got. But we take nothing for granted. We appreciate everything, especially ability to travel. Mm-hmm. And that when we were there, we were not allowed to go anywhere. And now I'm travel all over the world. Thanks to my profession and thanks to support of my department, I've been all over the world. So this is unbelievably open opportunity, and it's very exciting for me to have as you know, America give it us this. And also whenever the opportunity presented, I don't hesitate. I usually grab it, and I go for it. And that also opened, immigration opened this quality in me. So I really, I try to see if there is anything and anywhere that comes my way will be an interest or in benefits, and will take my in a person and career further down. And I usually write if I go for it.
I love that. You picked out two primary themes that I have to repeat. They're so good. One is, you know, when you have an opportunity, go for it. Don't hesitate. Don't hold yourself back, because a lot of people do that. And the other one has to do with gratitude, not taking things for granted. I think sometimes here we do tend to take things for granted and expect certain things. But when you go in knowing that it's up to you, you have to own it. You have to go for it. And you don't take things for granted. And then there's an element of gratitude and appreciation that permeates your entire existence, right? And I think that's so, so important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, nobody gave us anything. They gave us support and trust, and we took it. Well, I mean, talking about myself, but I can talk about the whole family. We all did it. Yes.
Yeah. I'm curious as to the transition, because when you came here, you had this the veterinarian degree, and then from Moscow, and now a world-renowned microsurgery instructor at a major research university in New York City. I kind of need a little bit more to tie those two together.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I answer these questions pretty much every week, because I teach. And I teach the course that I have people from all over the world coming and work with me and learn from me. And every week there somebody will ask me, so how you with DVM, the Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, become this, you know, famous person in microsurgery? What's your story? So I will be happy to share it briefly. It's a long story, but I just, as again, an opportunity arose, and I just took it, and I'm so happy I did. So basically, when we came here in 1992, the only thing I knew is how to be a veterinarian, and I wanted to get it back, and I got my daughter in 1993, so she was very little. When I start learning that I need to get a license to be a veterinarian again, practice vet, I need more credits. So our education was not equivalent to American veterinary education. So I basically need to go back to school and get some more credits. So because I have no money to go to the real vet school, so I started getting credits from the local colleges, and I went to Dobbs Ferry in New York and to Mercy College and got into the program and start getting credits that I can then apply towards my license and sit for the boards. And one of the classes that I needed to take was the internship in a microsurgery lab in the Department of Orthopedic Columbia University. And as I remember, still it was long, it was 25 years ago, the director of the program, Jane Berg, she pulled me aside and she said, well, you can take many credits, but I really suggest you to look into this. So go to this lab. And I was like, what's a microsurgery? She said, well, go for it. You're a doctor. Just go. Maybe it's something interesting. And, well, it's an internship. You need 3 credits anyway. Just go. So I signed up. I really trust her opinion, trust her advice, and I went. So I ended up being here in a small lab with 3 microscopes, a tiny room, somewhere in the middle of medical center as an intern, as for 3 credits for 4 months. And I had no idea what microsurgery was. I learned it. I started looking into that. I was completely struggling. I was pretty bad with that. And somehow, circumferentially, so director, the program coordinator at that time was about to leave and pursue other career. And she did. And I was in the middle of my internship. and already learning microsurgery. So basically just give an overview for people who has no idea what microvascular surgery is. It's a surgery that's done with the assistance of the microscope, surgical microscopes. And what surgeons are learning to do, basically put vessels together. Like for example, on a small vessels on a finger, if the finger got cut off, they put it back to replant it. They need to connect the small artery, small vein, and the nerve. So, or other tissues around the body for the breast, for other reconstructive procedures. So they need to connect the vessels together that the tissue, muscles, and skin will survive. So this is what I teach. I teach the surgeons from about 12 specialties and from all over the world to do these skills under microscope. Wow. So when I come here, I came here in 96, I had no idea what it means. So I learned from scratch. So I sit down and I start doing these vessels and I struggle so much. And the woman, the director who was there was not very encouraging. She didn't have much of time to spend with me anyway. So I just basically learned on the go. I did it again and again and again. I practiced so much. And I also observed her teaching and I start teaching when she was absent, just teach residents. And I basically learn with them, learn on their mistakes, on my own mistakes. Took me quite some time, a while, and then when she was gone, and I was still in there, so Dr. Harold Dick, our late chairman, he died recently, so he pulled me and he said, well, Elena, I want to keep this door open. Would you like to stay with us? And we will give you a technician position. We can't give you a director. We will give you tech. You will be a technician. But you will keep doing this. You will keep the door open. If the people still come and we not lose anything, we like you, you like us, you stay. So I didn't look back. I had another job. I had this college to finish, my license to get. So I said, well, you know what? It's not going anywhere. I quit my job. I forget about the license. I never went back to college. And I just stayed there. So I never left. And it was 25 years ago. Wow. So that's how I become a handmade microsurgeon. And then I brought this little lab to the international known level in a few years with, support and trust of my department and particular people who were still on my back. And I'm really, really proud what I've done over these years.
Yeah. I mean, and you, it was part of your vision to scale the small lab to that level?
You know what it was? If looking back and... the first thing I did, I wanted to see what people do around the country. And I went and I've learned what people do. And I said, I can do better. And I met a very interesting people on my way and made it to Society of Microsurgical Specialists in the country and then in the world. And just went out and start talking and start visiting labs and start presenting our programs, changed what we taught. Create a website, you know, just went out of my way to bring this little lab. Well, I didn't think it will go that high, but yeah. I work so hard, and I guess the personality also helped. Mm-hmm. And now we are really well known and very famous course in the world.
That's fantastic. I love that. You know, you just got to keep going for it and striving to do your best every day. So absolutely. What were some of the fears and fires along the way, you know, both personal and professional that you faced?
Well, the fears that I had I still probably have them. Being an immigrant and being not sometimes able to express yourself fully as your own, so English is not my first language, and as you hear my accent and, you know, some words are probably not pronounced correctly.
I think you're doing great.
Thank you. But this is my most fear sometimes, because I want to make sure that I express myself and find the right words. And But being very energetic, very positive, and very confident in myself, the language kind of, so that my fire, that my energy and my enthusiasm and positivity comes across as a fire that puts that fears down. Even if I don't say it correctly, even if I sometimes do not express myself fully or just say the words wrong or whatever, the other quality is overpowered. Also, well, this is my biggest fears, and probably I don't know how I fight it. Sometimes it subsided, sometimes, well, before even this podcast, it was a little bit fears in my spine, thinking, you know, people will not understand what I want to say or laugh at my accent, and you know, but that's not,
but
no longer.
You know what, you're doing it anyway, and that's how you've lived your life, right? Even if you have a fear, you're doing it anyway, and then you find out that it's not as bad as what you thought, right? Leading up to this,
exactly.
After I asked you, you probably were way more worried. And I told you it was going to be easier than you thought, right?
Yes, it is.
But one of the things I liked about what you said, and I think that everyone experiences the exact same thing. We all have fears, and we all have those positive qualities, that fire inside of us. And it's where you choose to focus. And you recognize you have this fear, but instead you're focusing on that positivity, that enthusiasm, the ability to push through. And that is what will help you overcome any fear. And we all, if anyone out there is listening, you all, even if you have the fears, you have that fire too. And it's just a matter of cultivating and focusing on that, just like Yelena did. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how do you... Go ahead.
Sorry.
I was just going to ask you how you manage the balance. Like, I'm always fascinated with people that can manage a very successful career and a family life. I mean, you've been married for, 32 years to the same man? You've got two successful kids and a great career. So what can you tell people about how to make that happen?
I try nothing. I just live my life. And I think the balance in your life is very important. And the roots, that where you come from. So I really thankful for my family. We brought up in Russia. I'm from a very warm and caring family with great parents. My father, I lost my dad 3 years ago, but I got a great quality from him, and I'm really, really grateful that he was with us for as long as he was, and put everything, he was support system for me being there and take care of my kids when we were, you know, at school and working and studying and running around. And he was there for, especially for my daughter, and he put a lot of good quality of his soul in both of my kids, and it shows now. And my mom, who is well and alive, well and great, she's a journalist, so she puts a lot of in me that was very useful, the communication quality and ability to relate to people and to listen and to hear, that I use it every day in my life. And of course, my husband, Sergey, who was with me, we married at 22 as a kids. We grew up together, and he is my huge support system. He is my safe net. And very loving, caring, trustful person. I travel a lot. I travel on my own all around the world. And he is there for me. So he has his own. He's very talented photographer. He's a great guy. He has a lot of talent on his own. But he's also, and I think survival for those 32 years, which come and goes pretty quickly. I can't even realize it, 32 years. We just give each other the space to live, and we happy to be together, have great kids, but also have our own lives, our own interests. And the balance is there, that I have my own time to do my thing, and the family is there to support me at whatever I do. And I kind of manage my time well. This is why I wanted to say, so you know what helped me to balance, maybe? I try to live every day of my life as if it would be no tomorrow. I don't know if it sounds cliche or no, but this is how I actually live. I try to squeeze in one day as much as I can. Sometimes it's too hectic. Sometimes I come out as a very spontaneous person who is sometimes changing plans or all over, but I try to see as many people or to do a lot of things in one day, and it works. It works for me, and I feel satisfied at the end of the day. And sometimes it doesn't work, and not always. And then you deal with it. But this is my motto now, as a person, as a professional and personal, do as much as you can.
I think that's great advice because, you never know. We have this day that we live in, and if you can really live it, then you don't have to worry about regrets,
Exactly.
And you just take advantage of it and you dive into it and you give as much as you can. And it's great that you have such an amazing support system. And for people who don't, realize the importance of that, Yelena, you were very lucky to have that with your family. But anyone out there who doesn't have that, you can choose the people that you surround yourself with and make sure to choose people that are supportive and that encouraging and positive and can help you get to where you want to go along your journey. I think it's fantastic. Now, you're a very passionate person. We can hear that. I know that. So what are some passions or interests that you have either with your profession or, when you're in the lab or out of the lab personally, anything that you just that lights you up?
Well, I can say that with a lot of pride, and I hope I will not come up as a bragging person. But you know how people, I've been listening to your podcast, and a lot of people say that the goal of their life to give back and be satisfied and just leave a mark in this earth, right, on this universe, on this mark of their life. Right? Mm-hmm. So something that they did that stayed after they gone.
Yes.
So I am so lucky being what I do and doing what I do and being where I am. I do this every day. Every Friday when people come to me on Monday, leaving me on Friday, they hug me and they thank me for making them a better surgeons than they were, because they're going and operate on people tomorrow, and I'm so satisfied and happy that they are leaving my mark to giving them a skill that they learned from me, from my expertise and my hand and my soul, and they take it tomorrow to operating room and do better work on a human being, on a patient. So this is the biggest passion I have for this job, that I do this every day, and I'm really lucky to have that. So I do leave my mark, and I have now students from all over the world bringing me regards from their bosses who I taught like 20 years ago. They still remember, seriously, from all over. And on a personal level, I love traveling. I think travel is amazing ability to see the world, to learn the other cultures. And this is, I'm really, again, lucky that my department supports me to bring this skill and my lecture and my passion to create better surgeons and to all over the world. And this is great. I really love to travel, and it's a big passion of mine. And I hope to keep it as much as I could, and I give it to my kids as well. And I never understood people who think America is awesome, is great, is probably the best country in the world, but open your eyes and go and see. And then you will appreciate what you got, what America can give you, much better when you go to Cambodia or India or China or, all over the Europe, you'll see the difference. And on a personal level, I discovered something that I've done for many years already. I've been coaching people, mentoring people through all my professional life on the personal level as friends and as my coworkers and my mentees. I become probably a role model for many people, as it is sometimes without even realizing it. So I kind of thinking to be a life coach, be like you, be like Jonathan, be like people and help them more, because I could give more of my energy, of my vision to people and help them more than I do now. So this, I hope to be one day like you.
Well, you know you have it in you, and you know that you have the capacity to move forward and do it, and you're already doing it. So you know you're going to. It's almost as if it's already taken place, right? That's wonderful. I mean, I absolutely have complete conviction that you can do anything that you set your mind to. And I love that you probably have no idea how many people you've impacted, because when those surgeons go away with this new skill and then they operate on someone else who now can live a fuller life and do something for someone else who then can do something for someone else, the ripple effect of what we do. And the same thing will happen when you do coaching, and it's completely different, you know, microsurgery and coaching, but you have that same impact to make a difference in someone's life so that they can go make a difference in someone else's life. And it's one of the things that I absolutely love about what I do. So, you know, we're very lucky. And I also like that you're like, you know what, guys, it's great here, but check out the world, because that gets back to that appreciation, right? You have to know what's out there so you know how you can appreciate what you have more.
Of course.
So is there anything that you would like? I can't believe it's been over 30 minutes already. So is there anything that you would like to share with the listeners that's, you know, anything that's on your mind that might make them want to get to know you better, or that you can leave them with those words of wisdom that we talk about here?
Those words of wisdom. So.
Well, you already shared quite a bit of it, but is there anything else that you think that you'd like to leave them with?
Well, probably just to summarize that what I already kind of mentioned. So we all go day by day, and so live day by day and try to do as much as you can as this day, like as will be no tomorrow. It will be tomorrow, but try to fit in as much as you can. Enjoy the moment. Be present in the moment, either with your people, with your work, with even just with yourself. Just enjoy every moment of the way. Never take no for an answer. You will try your best to just go. I did. So I still do not take no for an answer, and I will go for it and try it. It's okay, as everybody said, have fears. But find the person who, maybe even one or two people who you can relate to, you, so you can call in the middle of the night and you say what your fears are, and they will just listen and to be there for you. And I could be the one that you can call me, and I'm open, I'm listening, and I can relate to many people, and I will be very happy to help as many people as I can, even just to listen and hear, just to be there for anybody who needs advice on, I don't know, a medical professional or not, or even what to do with the kids. You know, I grew two great children, but we've been through a lot. So there is, I don't know if it's wisdom or not, but
it is brilliant wisdom, Yelena. Don't underestimate the power of being present for another human being. Being present, and I love that, being present in your relationships, being present in your job, but also being present with yourself and listening. That's what it's all about. We have this moment, and we might as well fully embrace it and be exactly who we are. And I love it. You have been exactly as I thought you would be when I asked you to come on the show. Inspiring and lovely. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. And remember how we've met, right? Yeah. I just hear you saying a couple of sentences and I feel your energy. And I knew inside me, we're going to do this. Yeah, and I'm just went for it, and here we go.
I love it. See,
thank you so much. Thank you, Heather. It was awesome.
I loved it. I appreciate you. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Take care.
Absolutely. You too. Bye bye.